The Golden State Warriors are one win away from their fourth world title in 8 years, and I cannot think of two better individuals to join me to recap a thrilling Game 5 and to preview what will be an incredibly pivotal, important, stressful, whatever adjective you could think of to describe Game 6. It's going to fit. We're going to break it all down with the former head coach and general manager of the Golden State Warriors, Gary St. Jean, and the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes Golden State Warriors, Kevin Dana. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Arcade 1UP. Bring home a slam dunk. Introducing NBA Jam Shaq Edition from Arcade 1UP. Pre-order now to play with legends. Arcade 1UP is the place for authentic gaming experiences featuring licensed retro games from the golden age of arcades. He's a former head coach in the NBA and a former general manager for the Golden State Warriors as well. Gary St. Jean, welcome back, and the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes the Golden State Warriors, Kevin Dana, joins me. Coach, I'll start with you, sir. Give us your feedback for a Game 5 and just an overall series that I think will be talked about for decades to come.
Kevin and I were chatting, Sarson. You know, this series has had so many ups and downs. I mean, the emotions. When you think back to Game 1, you come out in the third period, you're thinking, wow, we got this figured out. And bada boom, they start knocking down the threes. Now, Game 2, you say, I feel good. We're really moving the ball. We really played solid basketball. Game 3, not so good. You know, so you look at the momentum shifts, and that's what the fans, I think, maybe don't have the grasp on that coaches and players do. You got to try to stay steady because this thing goes up and down, up and down. That fourth game, what a fabulous win. And then last night, you know, you got a lot of great individual contributions, but I thought Steve Kerr said it best. The defense is really the key here. And you got some really terrific jobs done, led by Wiggins and Green and Payton. I thought those guys were exceptional. I'm going to mention somebody else who I know we're going to chat about, Klay Thompson. I thought his defense in Game 4 in the fourth quarter, as well as last night, that was a subtle switch, moving him on to Brown.
Yes, sir.
And he looked like the Klay of old. And when you have limitation of dribble penetration, especially Boston, who are extremely right-hand oriented, then you can play small and you're not dealing with layups at the rim all the time. So the defense was terrific. We can talk about Steph missing the 9 threes. We can talk about Wiggins' overall game. We can talk about Klay. I just thought it was a great veteran team win. Boston really struggled in the fourth quarter, and I thought the Warriors had a lot to do with it.
Kevin, your thoughts, sir?
Yeah, I mean, what an incredible kind of swing that this series has seen, as Gary has mentioned. And one of the big swings in this one was the talk had been about the dominant third quarters for Golden State. So, of course, they're up 12 at the half. And, of course, this is the time that Boston goes on their third quarter tear. But Jordan Poole's, you know, three, which I thought he didn't get off in time. And then the freeze frame, he barely got that thing off. I thought it was such a momentum swing for Golden State to start the fourth quarter. To Gary's point about defense, the talk was, especially on the broadcast, don't let Brown and Tatum go right. Well, those guys only got off one shot combined on the right side of the floor.
Interesting.
In Game 5, which, I mean, just incredible defense. Klay, they only got up five shots against Klay Thompson. You want to talk about the good defense? Like, they were only able to attempt five shots with Klay Thompson as the nearest defender. So Klay had a great game. I love looking at the hustle stats on the interactive box score, and the Warriors out-deflected Boston 17-7, which I think is a huge number, led by GP2 with five. So it's the little things that I really like with respect to kind of those kind of numbers, and even stuff that doesn't show up on the box score. Like, I thought when GP2 and Draymond Green chased Jason Tatum into the timeout huddle, trying to take the ball away from him with 4:40 to go, I thought that was like a microcosm of the whole game. Just like, we're going to be in your shorts for 48 minutes. And then even when you tried to go sit down, we're not going to let you get off a practice, Jimmy, or anything like that. Like, I thought that was fantastic. And I love Jason Tatum's response too. I'm not giving you the basketball. And he held, I watched him. He held the basketball the entire timeout. So it was just like a 30-second timeout, but like, he kept it with him on the bench the whole time. So it was a lot of fun to watch last night. Just a great game. And I mentioned this to Gary on our roundtable show last week. To me, a game doesn't have to be good if a game can be good if it's not a 5-point game or something like that, right? Like, you know, that was it was essentially a 16-point game before, you know, they took out the starters. And it was still a very good game. I mean, it was a 1-point, you know, each of the last two games have been 1-point games going into the fourth quarter. Game three was a 4-point game going into the fourth quarter. And those all turned out to be double-digit games. So I have been thoroughly entertained. Like, there have been wild second half swings that have made these games very entertaining. Now Dub's just one win away.
It's incredible. You're absolutely right. I don't think anyone is bored by this series. This has been a wildly entertaining series. And Kevin, I'm glad you brought up that little skirmish there late in the fourth quarter, because to me, and I was talking about this in the postgame show last night, immediately after the game, that Draymond Green and Gary Payne II, these two to me are some of the most strong-minded individuals in the NBA. Nearly impossible to rattle. But I thought what they did there, it was maybe, I don't know. I noticed this. I don't know if anyone else noticed this, which is that most players do not just approach the opposing bench, especially in an NBA final series like that, with no fear. They just walk right into the middle of that whole Celtics crowd. Draymond just wanting that ball back, strictly, like, there was no good reason for that. He just was like, I want that ball back. And he just followed him right into the Celtics huddle. And I thought the mind game there was incredible, because Gary Payne II and Draymond Green were both basically telling that entire Celtics team, we're not afraid of you. I'll walk right into this huddle with 20 of you surrounding me, and I have no fear. I will take all of you on. Coach, you know, I feel like you understand the mental fortitude of players better than anyone. Describe that scene, and whether or not I'm being far-fetched saying this, or if you saw the same thing. What are your thoughts?
No, and you know what, guys? It takes me way, way back. You wouldn't do that and get away with it.
Yes.
In the old days, there would have been a big problem. And in today's game, you can walk around and Bogart people, and not a lot is really going to happen. And nobody is better than Bogarting than Draymond. And he had his partner with him, Peyton. And you're right on describing those guys. And I'm looking down there and I'm saying, Smart would be the one that would get after those guys.
Right.
And yet he stayed calm and quiet, which I was surprised at. And they don't have any other, what I would call, kind of edge guys. And wow, even 20 years ago, that would not have been tolerated. You don't, that's sanctity. You don't come in our huddle. There's no way. So that was today's game. And nobody's more outspoken than Draymond. And hey, guys, I'm in love with Peyton. I'm so happy for this guy. I'm looking at his dad gleaming there in the corner near the bench. And what a story. And yet, when you look at this, guys, look at the trust that Steve Kerr has in him. He didn't want to take him off the floor.
Why would you?
Yeah, he was tremendous. Yeah. And so you're saying, oh my God, I got Looney and I got Green on the floor. So I subbed one of them out and I put in Payton. So I still got two non-shooters. But yet they were able to get it done because of the people movement and ball movement and the penetration by Wiggins getting to his right hand. Boston didn't do that. They got locked into standing around. Kevin's stats are speak volumes.
Yes.
And to me, the one stat that just sticks out in this whole series is this number 15, the turnovers. The record that Boston has when they're above 15 or above, and when they're below. That's startling. And yet, it happened again.
It's incredible. And I agree with you, Coach. I feel like 20 years ago, especially in the 80s, like if something like that happened where you had like one of these epic NBA finals and Larry Bird just walked into the middle of the Lakers bench, that would have started a whole brawl. There would have just been fisticuffs. I love the Bogarting reference. I love that word, period. Great call, Coach. And speaking of the old days, got to give love to a sponsor here, Arcade 1UP, because they brought back Boom Shaka Laka. That is a play call from one of my all-time favorite video games, NBA Jam, which is back. And Arcade 1UP, the leader in at-home retro arcade games, is not only bringing the best game ever back, but they've made it bigger than ever with the Shaq edition. I love NBA Jam simply because there are no fouls. There's no free throws. There's no quarters. They save just the funnest parts of the game for a video game. Only you have NBA licensed teams. And they've got other games as well. They got Golden Tee. I remember spending months of my life in San Francisco at one particular bar playing Golden Tee with my friends. Phenomenal arcade game and so much more. And it just starts at $399. And check this out. They're giving away an NBA Jam Shaq edition to a Locked On listener. Enter for a chance to win a game console for your man cave at arcade1up.com/lockedon. That's arcade, the number one, up.com/lockedon. You've got till July 8th to enter to win NBA Jam Shaq Edition console. Don't miss out. Enter today. Who are you going to play with?
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. The Ultimate NBA Mock Draft starts June 16th with over 50 insiders. Nothing equals the Ultimate NBA Mock Draft, the Locked On NBA Big Board Draft Experts, plus the Odyssey Insiders. First pick is June 16th. Search Ultimate NBA Mock Draft and follow now so you don't miss a pick. Gary St. Jean, the legend himself, joins us. Former head coach, former general manager. I love your humility, sir. Joins us here on Locked On Warriors. And Kevin Dana, the voice of the Santa Cruz Warriors and sometimes the Golden State Warriors. Stephen Curry, if someone had come to me, and I said this last night, if someone came to me before the game started and said, hey, I'm going to tell you this much about this game. Stephen Curry is going to go 0-9. I'm not going to tell you how this game's going to go, though. I would be sweating bullets. I would be thinking the Warriors are screwed in this game. They won despite an 0-9 performance from Stephen Curry, an 0-6 performance from Andrew Wiggins beyond the arc. Draymond Green still hasn't hit a three-pointer in this series, yet the Warriors, in convincing fashion, won Game 5. Coach, what did the Warriors do in this game? I know you've covered this earlier, sorry to rehash, but what did the Warriors do to beat this very good Celtics team despite Stephen Curry having an off night from deep?
I thought they came out of the huddle ready to play. I thought the first quarter set the tone defensively. They were really locked in. And it isn't about the, the effort. It's about also up here. You know, every game there's subtle adjustments, matchups, play calls, how we're going to handle certain plays. And I thought they switched a little bit more. And I thought Boston, again, tried to go at Steph. And I thought right from the get-go, he said, hey, I'm not the weak link here. Not me. And his strength now compared to when he started and just his intelligence and his instincts are tremendous. So you're putting a team out there that's second rated defensively in the league. And I just thought they were terrific. They took a whack to the head as Kevin pointed out in the third quarter. Kevin, you're the stat guru. What did they make? Seven straight threes?
They made so they missed their first 12, then made their next eight.
Yeah, that's bizarre. So, yeah. You know, the game, you know, it went up and down, but this is the voice of experience. They've been there. They know it's not going to be a steady 48-minute flat road. There's going to be ups, hills, and down. And then the fourth quarter, you know, to this day, I don't think we praise Looney enough. I just think his ability to switch, contain smalls, and then dominate the defensive board. And you guys don't even know what phone books are, you know, with your cell phones. We used to use, you know, with a rotary phone, and you'd look up numbers in there. Looney couldn't jump over two telephone books. That's about this high. But yet you talk about a terrific rebounder. He's just so smart. So you're putting guys on the floor. I'll be honest with you guys. The only guy that's catching a lot of grief, criticism, would be Poole. Beyond that, your guys can defend. I'll give you a quick example. Kevin and I talked about this. You get Andre Iguodala out there for, what, 4 minutes?
Yeah.
But it's a positive. You get Bielitz out there, who's underrated, switching on to smalls.
Agreed.
And containing them off the bounce. So everybody that came in has defensive abilities. And then the scheme. The Boston is great individual defending, but I'm going to tell you something where Boston is not as good as the Warriors. That's their weak side, the side opposite the ball, their coverage, their rotations from weak to strong are superb. So when I go from weak to strong, I'm going east-west. I have a teammate that I know is going north-south to come back to cover for me. And I just can't give enough credit. Again, pretty darn even on the glass. But you guys talked about the deflections. To me, that's another way of getting into the turnovers. And they had live ball turnovers.
You're absolutely right.
Just killed them.
Absolutely right.
I just, guys, you know what? The defense is going to be there again. Both these teams are terrific defensively. Now in Boston, I'm saying, holy moly, Curry's not going to have another 0 for 9. You know, this 6 is going to be really, really something Thursday.
Absolutely right. We got game 6, Clay, coming. Kevin, I'm going to throw it to you in just a second here. I just want to add, speaking of Clay Thompson, I was looking at some stats of his. In the Western Conference Finals, with each game, his three-point percentage increased. In game 1, it was 25, game 2, 25, yep. Game 3, 30, game 4, 33, game 5, where he shot lights out, he was 50%. In this series, game 2, 13%, game 3, 39%, game 4, 40%. Last night, he was at 46%, and now we have game 6, Clay, coming. I also want to add about the urgency. The Warriors came out of in this game with as the aggressors. I've never seen the Warriors that aggressive, but then the Celtics matched that in the third quarter. I think that's a huge reason why they came right back. But Jordan Poole to hit that a second buzzer beating shot in the series. And that was a big one. Most buzzer beaters, you just kind of, they're entertaining for the crowd. You know, you take it with a grain of salt. That was a huge buzzer beater because that gave the Warriors the lead back. And despite the Celtics best effort, which they gave in that third quarter, because you saw them gassed in the fourth quarter, from that effort, that Jordan Poole three was huge. Kevin, I'm going to give you a turn at this in just a second. I got to give some love real quick to another longtime sponsor of ours, Rock Auto, just because they save listeners and viewers and people a ton of money in this day and age with gas prices the way they are. And if you're a driver, you got to do whatever it takes to save money. And Rock Auto does that for you. Save time and money, and you don't have to go to a store. You can do it right at home on your computer or on your phone. Why choose to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? An example being a Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 from a chain store. It's just $216 from Rock Auto, and they're a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. We all love family here at Locked On Warriors. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On Warriors your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Raphael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course the big boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. So is Kevin Dana. He's free and available on Twitter at Kevo408. And Gary St. Jean is too cool for social media, and rightfully so. When you're a former head coach and general manager of the NBA, you do what you want, and you do it with a big smile on your face. Kevin Dana, your turn, sir. I mean, just talk about the Warriors. Just the fact that Stephen Curry, and I got to add to that donut hole for three-pointers, Otto Porter Jr. also went 0 for 2. I mean, those are four important players for the Warriors. I know Draymond has been par for the course for him not hitting threes this series, but Andrew Wiggins 0 for 6, Stephen Curry 0 for 9, Otto Porter Jr. 0 for 2, and the Warriors still convincingly won that game. Your thoughts, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, has an 0 for 6 from 3 ever looked better than what Andrew Wiggins did last night? Like, it almost feels like a footnote to everything else he did in that game. And Andrew Wiggins obviously was spectacular. With respect to the Stephen Curry 0 for 9 from 3, like, it was brought up in the press conference last night that, like, you know, so someone said, yes, he's here. Say hi, Bacon.
Bacon!
There was someone who, like, mentioned to Steve Kerr, like, oh, you know, the finals MVP conversation might be changing a little bit after that one game, which is crazy to me, because Steph Curry still had, besides the 0 for 9, he had a pretty good game. I mean, 16 points, 8 assists, yes, and a Celtics player shot 3 for 12 when guarded by him. So, like, yep, in the series, he's holding players to under 40% shooting. Just he's been absolutely incredible. He did not shoot it well in that game. Everything was pretty much short for Steph in that game, but those things happen, and it feels like he's going to have just a breakout. Whenever he has a bad shooting game, you feel like it's going to course correct pretty quickly. So I wouldn't be worried about Steph from a Golden State perspective at all. And yeah, just back to Wiggins real quick, because I mean, this guy was unreal last night. In addition to the 26 and 13, the defense he has to play, you know, guarding Jason Tatum has been absolutely incredible. And Gary, you brought up the point, or maybe it was Cyrus, one of you guys brought up the point about the Celtics tiring out. Well, Jason Tatum didn't hit a field goal on Andrew Wiggins for the final 22 minutes of that game. And he missed his last four shots, and three of them were air balls. I want to say it was Dieter Kurtenbach's article today. I read a few different articles. I think it came from Dieter. So nice. Forgive me if I have the attribution incorrect, but just that's how dominant, like, Andrew Wiggins was in that game on both ends of the floor. It's been awesome to see, you know, him going from being kind of bad trade Wiggs in the eyes of many people to two-way Wiggs, who is becoming maybe the second most important piece potentially for this finals run.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point. You know, and I'll just add a note here.
Please.
When he got drafted, people saw an athlete, and now he's in Cleveland. He winds up in Minnesota, and he got a lot of criticism, and it was based upon effort, because they saw an athlete, but inconsistent effort, and that had him pigeonholed. And they were in a situation up there where they had to do something. And for the Warriors to get that deal, that might be, I don't know, could be Bob Myers' best deal.
Among many. You're a former GM, coach. I mean, can you describe that? Like, I mean, as from your perspective, like, how does a deal like that fall in your lap? I mean, I feel like Minnesota just didn't have much many options in that regard. I mean, they needed to make a move. I know D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns are friends, so it made sense on paper. But yeah, from your perspective, talk about the trade that really has played a vitally huge part in the resurrection of this dynasty.
Well, there's the key point. You keep calling every week because you know that Towns is in the ear of the GM saying, hey, we can get him. That's our point guard for the future. And I'm ready to drive the bus to get him out of here because I can't stand watching him play. And when they made the deal, I was like, holy moly, this is addition by subtraction. And now he's under the culture, the chemistry of the Warriors. And guys, don't underestimate that. This guy has emerged because of a comfort level, that of a confidence growth. We knew he was an athlete, but my goodness, what he's done. I love listening to Draymond. I love listening to Steph and Clay talk about him. And you brought out, Cyrus, a great player, was you, Kev. Remember when Tatum was backing him down? And this is what Luka, LeBron, all the great one-on-one players, they want to get – you guys know what I mean by the nail? The nail is the intersection, the midpoint of the free throw line.
There's an actual nail there.
Yes, there is, yeah.
There is a nail every court. I can attest to that. I always look. So what I'm sharing with you is you want to back the guy down there when you think you got a mismatch, because the double teams, they don't come in the middle of the floor like that. And when he caused that air ball that Kevin was talking about,
yes,
I started clapping in my family room. And then they went down. Kev helped me. They went down and they scored. I thought that was a huge point in the game. And then that runner that he shot over Horford or Williams going to his right, left to right across the paint there, I looked and I said, wow, those are two huge plays. Those are championship plays. So, you know, wasn't Steph's best game, but you get a very good game out of Clay and some solid work out of a lot of the people. But the praise that we threw at Steph after game four, Wiggins was the guy in game five.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, Coach. Look, I want to make the audience very happy because the average Locked On show is supposed to go around 30 minutes. We have so much left to talk about. So we're going to make this a two-parter. So I'm going to finish up on this note, and then in part two, we'll add whatever thoughts we need to for game five and then preview game six, because this series is not over and the Celtics are a very formidable opponent. But one name that has been in the news a lot in this series is Draymond Green, for better or for worse. I mean, this has certainly been one of the worst playoff series of his career. I mean, it's, you know, especially offensively is where I've noticed he's been struggling. And I don't know if it's Robert Williams III that's who's been giving him problems. I think I saw another block by him on a driving layup by Draymond. And by the way, great reference to the nail. Sorry to take a step back for a second. I always call that thing the nub, but you call it the nail.
The
huh?
nub.
The I like nail. It. I love that. That is something that only people play know about, that little line there. That is so true. But real quick here, Draymond Green, when this has been his defense in this series so far, and I'm pulling a lot of stats from Warriors Muse. Thank you so much for posting a lot of these numbers. When Draymond Green this series has guarded Jaylen Brown has shot 29% from the field, only 7% from beyond the arc, 1-for-14, and has had 5 turnovers this series when Draymond Green guards him. I love that matchup. To me, Wiggins and Draymond are the two players that give Jaylen Brown, who has been the most effective player for the Celtics this series, the most problems. Jason Tatum, when Draymond Green guards him, has only scored 7 points this entire series, 1-for-8 shooting with two turnovers. And Marcus Smart, who many called a mini Draymond Green entering this series, when Draymond guards him, has only scored 3 points this series on 1-for-5 shooting from beyond the arc. Draymond Green is still bringing it defensively. Coach, I'll start with you and then Kevin, and then we'll wrap this part one up and go to part two. Coach, your thoughts on Draymond Green this series, because he's been under the limelight much more than usual, which is saying a lot for Draymond Green.
Well, a lot of people know I'm from the Boston area. So the fans were not a surprise to me. I've heard a lot of that in my day, and my wife is from there too. So I don't know if they got under his skin a little bit, but he was not himself. And I think he'd admit that to you. But he was man enough to just say, hey, I accept Steve taking me out of the game. I'm a competitor. I didn't want to be taken out. He didn't go into hysteronics on the bench. He was ready to come back in, and I thought he made some big defensive plays. There's no doubt about, his impact defensively. And I'm not into the scoring as much as I am the assists and the rebounds.
Right.
And last night, I'm going to say, I'm going to round it off, 8-8-8, something in that ballpark.
For assists?
Total, his line, points, rebounds, assists.
Yeah, it was eight points, eight assists, seven rebounds.
Okay. So I look at that, and I think that's a very, very good job. I don't know if he's had a game where he's had that many assists.
I think one other game. I think the last game four, he was comparable, but that's it. Okay. Yeah.
But I think Boston has really done a terrific job on him. They've taken his passing angles away. The one thing when you guys are talking about him, we get into his emotions and his effort, but you don't get into enough about his intelligence.
Yes.
He knows players inside and out, their tendencies. Back to the basket. What shoulder are you going to turn to? If you're right-handed, are you going to go drive to the rim? Are you going to go left for the jump shot? On and on and on. And he knows everybody, not just one or two guys. He knows everybody. And that's huge for this team. I just, offensively, I'd be looking. He's reversing the ball well. I like when he dribble handoffs. And the reason I'm saying that, I get a little technical here. They're using drop coverage. That means the big is not up near him. He's way back. So whether it's a pick and roll, a dribble handoff, or a pass and pick, when he brings the ball over to Steph and Steph comes off, that guy, Steph is open. And I'm looking for him to continue to do that to the point where I thought they almost did it too much with Steph when he had the 40, which they needed from him.
Yeah.
But I thought they ran so much high pick that they got away from their motion or their passing game actions. We're seeing very little backdoors. We're not seeing a lot of layups. And maybe that's Williams and Horford. But they are really, really big. They're long, they're strong, and they're young. And they move their feet.
Yes, they do.
And I'm looking for Draymond. I don't know, guys. I think he could really have a big game in game six. I really do, because I thought last night he found some stuff. He looked comfortable out there to the point where I'm ready to say he's ready to take two steps up the ladder and bring a special game.
And before I throw it to you, Kevin, real quick, I just want to add, Gary, just would love your thoughts on this. Do you think part of the reason why Draymond's been struggling in Boston is because, unlike previous NBA Finals series, he's a family man now? I don't remember him bringing his wife to the games. I don't remember him bringing his kids to the games. And I'm wondering if, like, the fan behavior with his family there here and all this, I don't know if that plays a part. Do you think that would or no?
Yes. Listen, these guys are human.
Yeah.
And when you're getting called the names he was being called, and how old is his son? Like 4 or 5?
No, Dre Jr. is amazing. And he has a daughter too. I mean, it's and they're little.
And his wife was, hurt by it. And I loved his mom. His mom's fantastic. It can get under your skin. I mean, I'll go way, way, way back, when the Lakers came in. You remember when Rambis and McHale had played there?
Of course.
What went on? I mean, in my day, way back when, Red Auerbach, was the boss. So when and Nelly played for him for a long, long time. We'd go in there, and it'd be in the spring in the playoffs. He'd have the heat on in the locker room. We'd go for the shoot-around. The air would be out of the balls. We'd walk around the court. And Nelly, through John Havlicek, knew where the dead spots were when he played, and they were still there. So, and they wanted to know how you played, whether you were going to go up and down or your half-court team, because they put water on the nets to tighten them up. So the ball would come through slower. That's incredible. I can go on and on with stories.
Whoa.
Like that.
That's incredible.
Amazing. So the Boston mystique is real. I'm going to tell you guys. It
oh,
is
my
real.
God.
They're
I believe
up
it.
Above a train station. And back in the day, let me see if you guys can see my hands. We saw rats. Yeah. We saw rats that were 3 feet long. We had players jump up on the table during shoot around because they thought the rats were coming after us. So that's my Boston story. Go ahead, Cyrus. You got me going.
No, you going is beautiful. Stop when you want to stop, please. We're not stopping you. These are incredible. Kevin, your thoughts, please. And then we'll finish up with Kevin, Dana. Your thoughts on just Draymond and everything Coach has said right there, which is remarkable.
the Celtics mystique has been loud and clear in this series with the 10-foot, 2-inch hoop.
Yes!
That's a good
three.
One, Kevin.
Yeah, that, I mean, you want to talk about, I don't want to speak to the intentions of the Boston Celtics without knowing their organization like a saint would, but that did not feel accidental. Like, I mean, you just know. I mean, when you set up a basket, you know what 10 feet looks like.
Yep.
And I don't know. That was funny to me. But Draymond, call me corporate Kev. And I'll own up to it, but I don't think he's been like as bad as people like made him out to be. Like game three was not good. All right, for sure. He was 1-for-7 in game four, which isn't great, but everything else he did outside of that, I thought was like pretty standard for Draymond Green with the 9 rebounds, 8 assists, and 4 steals. Like, I don't know what more you want from the guy. And yeah, he sat in a big juncture of the game where actually the Warriors wrested control away from Boston in game four. But it's not like Draymond Green always plays 12 minutes every fourth quarter.
True.
It was a gutsy move by Steve Kerr. It paid off. It was the right move for that game. You know, Draymond said he wasn't happy about it after the game because he's a competitor. But when he came back in, he made big defensive plays, and he had 2 monster assists and an offensive rebound that kind of sealed the game because I believe it was the one that led to the Looney layup to make it 102-97. So you make it a 2-possession game in the final minute and change or whatever it was. And so I don't know I forget how the old saying goes, but the demise of Draymond Green was I forget how that saying goes, but that's the saying I'm trying to use right now. And it just like, it was in my head and then it escaped me, but greatly exaggerated. The demise of Draymond Green was greatly exaggerated. There you go. So I don't know. And like, I understand that. Yes, I would like him to shoot open layups when he has the opportunity right at the rim, but that like, that is just much smaller part of Draymond's game right now than it is for the normal NBA player, and he just brings so much other value added to every other aspect that like, I'm not willing to say that like he had a terrible game for like people. I felt used that Draymond's mom tweet to say he played bad in game four when she said she was joking in the tweet anyways, like LMBO laughed my butt off. Like she wasn't being exactly serious. So I don't know. I know I quickly develop a reputation for not like trashing players, but I just don't see the point in trashing players who are the best in the world when maybe they have an off game or two. So I don't know. Call me too optimistic, but I thought it wasn't as big of a deal as people made it out to be. Like everyone was concerned about Klay Thompson shooting after one bad shooting game in game two. And guess what's happened since? He's been pretty good.
And we got game six Klay coming. Folks, I hope everyone watching or listening to this is as delighted as I've been. And guess what? We've got another part coming. Part 2 is next. This is Locked On Warriors.